Do you willingly confess your sin to God, but hold on to the guilt? What can you do to stop the brokenness? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Problem for so many guilt-ridden Christians. Oh, they've committed a terrible sin, and they confess that sin to God, and they're broken over that sin. And when they get off their knees asking God to forgive them, they pick up the guilt of that sin, and they put it back on their back. And they wear guilt like a heavy coat. Even though they have confessed their sin, they live in that world of unconfessed sin where there's depression and where there's dirtiness and where there's a haunting and a fear and shame. What's the problem with that person? That person is not believing God. That's the problem.
He can heal every scar.
What do you do when you're busted? What do you do when your life is crashing down upon you and you've realized that your sin has broken you? Well, David wanted to be and was a man after God's own heart, but he committed the great sins of adultery and murder. Now, that's just about as bad as it gets. But David was also a great repenter. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm Larry Nobles. Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Jeff answers this question. What do you do when that happens to you? The answer is you take three steps to restore fellowship with the Lord. What are they? We'll learn that today in the message called Busted and Broken. It's from Pastor Jeff's series, Roller Coaster, Facing the Ups and Downs of Life. And this series is also our thank you gift for your support this month. And we'll talk more about that later, or you can go to fromhisheart.org for details. First, though, open your Bible to Psalm 51, and let's discover exactly what to do when you're busted and broken.
What do you do when you're busted? What do you do when your life and the weight of your sin comes crashing down upon you and you're broken? David, man after God's own heart, he not only was a great sinner, as I told you his story, 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, but David was a great repenter. And David wrote Psalm 51 after Nathan the prophet came to him and pointed the finger of accusation in his face and said, "You are the man." And David's heart broke and he said, "I have sinned before the Lord." David was busted. David was broken. Hey, what do you do when you're busted and broken? You take three steps. Three key steps. Step number one. What are we to do? We're to come humbly to God. Look at verse 1. "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions." You mark it down. No matter what you've done, God is full of grace and mercy. God is gracious, and David is crying out for God's mercy and God's grace. "Oh, be gracious to me, God. God, I need your grace. And I need your compassion, the greatness of your compassion, God. God, I know that I've sinned terribly, but God, you are a compassionate God. You can always trust in God's love, no matter what you've done. And no matter what you've done, he is able to forgive you. He can forgive you." David said in Psalm 86, verse 5, "For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon thee." God is not reluctant to forgive. He's ready to forgive. God wants to forgive you and forgive me more than we want to come before the Lord. You really sinned and sinned terribly and sinned greatly with great consequences. What do? You come humbly to God. Second step. Not only are we to come humbly to God, but we are to confess honestly and completely to God. See, God sees it all. God knows it all. So we need to confess it all to God. I love what it says when it tells the story of David's sin in 2 Samuel chapter 11. It doesn't mention the Lord at all until the very last verse. And it says, "But the thing that David did was evil in the sight of the Lord." God saw it all. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. God saw what David did. He knows everything. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. But the thing that David did was evil in the sight of the Lord. So what do we do when we're busted before a God who sees it all and knows it all? We are to confess honestly and completely to Him. Now, don't dress up your sin because you're guilty as charged. He wronged Bathsheba and he wronged Uriah, but he sinned against God. Don't dress up your sin. You're guilty as charged. Don't cover up your sin. God desires the brutal truth. We like to cover it up. David said in verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being." David tried so hard to cover his sin, to cover it up, just to sweep it under the rug. Nobody saw, nobody needs to know about this. And he went on as being king. No doubt he sang the songs. No doubt he went to worship. No doubt he prayed prayers. He did all of that for 9+ months. And all the while, there was rottenness in the innermost part. There was cover-up in there. What happened to David when he was playing cover-up for those 9+ months while the baby was being formed in Bathsheba's womb? What was going on in his life? He tells us in Psalm 51, he tells us what happens to a Christian, to a believer, to someone who loves God, but who gets sin in his or her life. He tells us what happens when you have unconfessed sin in your life. First of all, unconfessed sin will make you feel dirty. He says in verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." He says in verse 7, "Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean." He says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." David felt so dirty on the inside. And there's nothing he could do. There's no ceremonial washing that could take that away. He felt stained and dirty and soiled on the inside, and it was awful. It's horrible when you're filthy, and David was filthy before the Lord. Hey, unconfessed sin will make you feel dirty. Unconfessed sin will make you feel haunted. Not only dirty, but haunted. Look what he says in verse 3. "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." David was haunted by the ghost of guilt because of his sin. And David was carrying his accuser within his breast everywhere he went. "Day and night, God, your hand is heavy upon me. I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." It will haunt you. Unconfessed sin will make you feel depressed. He says in verse 8, "Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice." Oh, God, I'm just so down and depressed. He says in verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." God, I've lost my song. I've lost my joy. And I try and get myself up, but I just keep getting pulled back down because there's unconfessed sin in my heart. And I can't rise above. It will depress you. Unconfessed sin will make you feel ashamed. Verse 9, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities." Oh, God, I'm so ashamed. Don't look at what I've done, God. Hide your face from what I've done, God, because I'm so very ashamed. If we put your sins on the big screen, would you be ashamed? I'd be ashamed. Be ashamed. You know what's troubling in our nation today? We've lost shame. There's no fear of God anymore before people's eyes, and so people aren't ashamed. The wicked strut about on every side, as it says in Psalms, while vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Jeremiah said this in Jeremiah 6:15, "Were they ashamed because of the abomination they have done? They were not even ashamed at all. And they didn't even know how to blush." You know how to blush? It's a good sign if you still know how to blush. It's a good sign if you feel shame over your sin. You should. Unconfessed sin, not only does it make you dirty, make you feel haunted, depressed, ashamed, but it makes you feel afraid. And David was so afraid, verse 11, "Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." He had seen that happen to Saul, where God's hand was upon King Saul, and then King Saul sinned, and God took his hand off Saul. And David wasn't talking, I mean, we don't have to worry as believers today that God's Spirit is going to leave us because we're sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And he said, "My Holy Spirit's going to be with you forever. So no matter what you do, you can grieve the Spirit when you sin." And we do grieve the Spirit when we sin. But the Holy Spirit is not going to say, I've had enough with you, I'm out of here. But for David, Old Testament David, where the Holy Spirit hadn't been given, he had an anointing upon his life as king. And he knew that God could take his hand off him, just like he took his hand off Samson. And when the scripture says of Samson, when they finally cut his hair, he revealed his secret. And Samson said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." And the Bible said he did not know that the Lord had left him. Scary verse. David is afraid that God is going to remove his hand. He's living in fear because he has this unconfessed sin in his heart. You know, we've talked about in this series on Psalms, we've talked about having integrity. Integrity means wholeness and soundness. Integrity has been defined this way: when you have integrity, you have nothing to hide and nothing to fear. But when you don't have integrity, when everything is outward and there's not truth in the innermost being, you're always a little nervous that someone is going to find out about you. Unconfessed sin. Don't cover it up. Don't dress it up. If you've blown it, own it. If you've messed up, then fess up and be honest, completely honest before the Lord. So what are we to do? Man, I've really blown it. David really blew it. And David blew it as much, if not more, than anyone else in this room, because he was guilty of two huge sins, adultery and manslaughter to cover up his adultery. He came before the Lord, "Be gracious to me, O God." He confessed to the Lord. He opened it up. He had been hiding it for 9+ months, and now he opened himself up to the Lord. He shared his whole heart with the Lord. He begged God to cleanse him and to deliver him and to forgive him. So step number 3, what are we to do after we do that? We are to claim confidently our forgiveness from God. This is huge. If you want to be delivered from the ghost of guilt, huge that you claim confidently your forgiveness from God. Now, the Bible says in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, a friend of mine called this verse the Christian's bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess, then he's faithful and just, faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness, from most unrighteousness, from the little things of unrighteousness, from all unrighteousness, whatever it is, whether it's adultery, whether it's abortion, whether it's extortion, whether it's selfishness, whether it's lying and cheating and stealing, whatever it is, if we confess, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of that, to make us white as snow. Now, here's the question. Is that verse true? Can God really do that? Does he really do that? He does, if you will confess. Listen, a key ingredient to getting right with God: there must be godly sorrow and brokenness. Must be godly sorrow and brokenness. I've entitled this sermon, "Busted and Broken." Now, you can get busted, but are you broken over your sin? David said in verse 16, "You don't delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You're not pleased with burnt offerings." It's not the external, that I just sacrifice another animal and then we're good to go, that I just put on the garb of religion and then we're good. And he said, no. Because God wants truth in the innermost part. So he says in verse 17, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." That's what God wants. He wants your heart to be broken. Many people come before the Lord. They're sorry they got busted. They're not sorry for what they did. To do what the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins. The word confess means, it's the Greek word homologeo. It means to say the same thing as God. It's to think the same thing as God about your sin. To look at that sin the same way God looks at it, to agree with God. And when you agree with God, you say to the Lord, Lord, not only did I sin, not only did I lust, not only did I look at terrible things, not only did I fill my mind with filth, God, not only did I was I jealous, not only did I lie, but God, I not only broke your law, but I broke your heart. Broke your heart. I'm so sorry, God. Broken and a contrite heart, God won't despise. That's what God is looking for. He's looking to see if there's some people who'll be broken over their sin before the Lord, before the thrice holy God of the universe. There must be godly sorrow and brokenness. The scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Two kinds of sorrow: godly sorrow that is repentance that leads to salvation and life, and there's worldly sorrow that brings regret and death. There must be godly sorrow and brokenness. And listen, when there's godly sorrow, when there's brokenness, when there's a complete and full confession of sin, there's no yeah, but, there's no cover up. You pull all the sheets off, all of the filth that's in your heart, and you bring that before the Lord, then there must be faith to believe God. Faith to believe God. Is 1 John 1:9 true or is it not true? He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Problem for so many guilt-ridden Christians. Oh, they've committed a terrible sin. Maybe it's the sin of adultery, or maybe it's a sin of abortion, or maybe it's a sin that destroyed their family's finances. Whatever that sin might be, they have this sin, and they confess that sin to God, and they're broken over that sin. And when they get off their knees asking God to forgive them, they pick up the guilt of that sin, and they put it back on their back. And they wear guilt like a heavy coat. And everywhere they go, they just say, oh, they're Hester Prynne. There's the Scarlet A. And they take it with them everywhere they go. Even though they have confessed their sin, they live in that world of unconfessed sin where there's depression and where there's dirtiness and where there's a haunting and a fear and shame. What's the problem with that person? That person is not believing God. That's the problem. Because he says he'll forgive. When David confessed his sin to God, did God forgive him? Yes. Did God cleanse him? Yes. Did God create in him a new heart? A clean heart? Yes. Because God responds to the prayer of the repentant. A broken and contrite heart, you will not despise, O God. The scripture says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, for we have heard the good news just as they did. They heard the message, but it did them no good. Why? Because when they heard it, they did not accept it with faith. You might hear the message today about how you can leave this place free from guilt and free from shame and free from separation from God. And you can say, that sounds good, but I don't think that's for me. I don't think that's available for me. You heard the good news, but you didn't apply it to your own life and you didn't believe God. We hear this so often with people, and they'll say, well, you know, I've confessed my sin to God, but here's my problem, Pastor Jeff. I just can't forgive myself for what I've done. Oh, it sounds so good, doesn't it? It sounds so noble. You can't forgive yourself. Yet God can forgive you, but you can't forgive you. You know, when you say you can't forgive yourself, what you're saying is, I am more righteous than God. I am more holy than God. The standard, the bar of my judgment is higher than God's. Oh, really? Well, God's the thrice holy God of the universe. God is too pure to look upon sin. You think you're more holy than God? You think you're more righteous than God? Your standards are higher than God's? Of course not. Person who says, I can't forgive myself, is putting their standards above God. They're refusing to believe God. So much better to say, God, If you say you'll forgive me, then that's good enough for me. And I believe you. David said in a sister psalm, Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin to thee. And my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And I don't have to live in shame any longer. I can take off the scarlet A that they put upon my chest because the blood of Jesus washes whiter than snow. And I don't have to live as an adulterer anymore. I can be brand new with a new heart. Create in me, oh God, a new heart. And renew a right spirit within me. And listen, when you have a true brokenness over sin, you turn from that sin. You don't keep embracing that sin. You're going to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm convicted because I'm living in sin, because I'm living with this person and that person is not my spouse. We've never been married and we're committing fornication. And God, forgive me of this. And I'm going to separate myself from that situation. I'm not going to keep living like that. Because that is displeasing to you. I'm going to get right. John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. Is there faith in your heart to believe God that he will really forgive you? It happens when you humble yourself before the Lord. It happens when you come clean before the Lord. It happens when you allow your heart to be broken by his word that you've sinned against a holy God. But he's willing. Like the father of the prodigal son, he's looking for you to see, will you come back from the far country? Will you leave the pigsty? It can happen today.
It can happen today. Now, it could be that today your sin has caused you to feel broken and busted, distant from God. And perhaps today you're feeling that weight and you want to let it go, to drop it, to give it to God and trust him completely. Perhaps he is calling you right now to surrender it all to him and allow him to wipe your heart and your mind and conscience clean about your sin so that you can live in thankfulness and humility. And you can also share the good news with others. Well, on our website, there's a special section under the resource tab called Free Stuff. And there you can download a free PDF copy of Pastor Jeff Shreve's booklet called Not Guilty. And we believe that it'll show you how you can find the freedom and the peace that comes from turning it all over to God and believing him and his word. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Resources tab, and then the Free Stuff link. Now, for those of you who have been encouraged by today's message and want to help us share it further and wider in your community and around the world, we hope that you'll go online to make a gift to From His Heart this month. And with that gift of any amount, we'll send you Pastor Jeff Shreve's popular booklet called In the Face of Discouragement. If you can give a gift of $40 or more, we'll also send you the 8-message series, Roller Coaster, Facing the Ups and Downs of Life. It's available on CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive. This series contains today's message called Busted and Broken, and 7 more. To get yours, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go online to make your secure gift at fromhisheart.org. Now, this month is a very special one for our new vision partners. Those are people who choose to give a gift every single month, and it's the foundation of this ministry. And we have some special gifts. If you sign up to be a vision partner starting this month, just go to fromhisheart.org, click the Vision Partner banner, and invest in kingdom work through From His Heart. Well, thanks for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, inviting you to be here tomorrow for the final and poignant lesson in Pastor Jeff's Roller Coaster series. Join us on Friday for the uplifting message called No Greater Love. That's right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.